There are some lessons that we learn that stay with us for quite a long time. And I was thinking of one of the most important of my lessons that I learned about the Good Shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Almost 40 years ago, I was the chaplain, one of the chaplains at Texas A&M University in the mid-80s, I think it was 86 or 87. And one of the things that I was able to do that was not necessarily part of my job description, but I was able to lead an early morning worship service at what is undeniably the greatest and most prestigious firefighter training facility in the world, which is at Texas A&M. This fire training center has been there since the early 1930s, and firefighters from around the world come to be trained to perfect how the best ways are to save people's lives from the ravages of fire. And one of the things that I was able to do right after I got to A&M was I went to the fire facility. They invited me, and I was able to lead a couple of those 7 a.m. worship services where 100 or 200 firefighters would gather out in the courtyard. I would be up on a platform, and I always took my guitar with me because I believe that, like St. Augustine said, when you sing, you pray twice. So I had them sing. And we sang a little bit, I talked a little bit, read a little scripture, and said a blessing for them, and then they went about the business of their training. Most of them were there for a full week. Well, one of the directors of the center showed me around and showed me as they were going to the different fire stations fighting and learning how to fight different types of fire. And the one that has stayed with me more than any of the others was a building fire. Now, they had a building and they ignited all the fires. And first of all, the center director told me, he said, "This is real fire. This isn't fake stuff. This is the same type of things that these men and women go back to fight when they go back to their departments." And this, they had about a three-story building that they had ignited a fire inside it. And when I came up to it, one of the crews, a crew of about eight firefighters, was going forward right toward the fire that was coming out of a little entrance in the building. And I noticed that the flames were coming out up above them. And the closer they got to the fire with their hoses, the fire continued to wrap over them. I guess it would be this way, the closer they got to it. The fire was going directly over their heads, and I noticed that the firefighters at the very front were unbelievably close to the fire. And I was about 100 yards away, but it looked terrifying to me. And afterwards, I had a chance to talk to a couple of the fire trainees who were there, and I asked one of the firefighters who was right at the front, as the flames were coming up and over and around him. And I said, "Weren't you terrified?" And he said, "Yes, I was." He said, "I almost panicked and ran." But he said, "I didn't run." I said, "Well, why was that?" He said, "Because my trainer at all times was between me and the fire." My trainer, who has fought this same fire dozens of times and defeated it, was between me and the fire. His life between danger and me. And I realized then, and every time I come to this passage from John chapter 10, that's what our Good Shepherd does. He stands between danger and us, putting his life before ours against all the forces of darkness and wickedness and evil, all the demonic powers. He stands guarding us. He says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. There are other shepherds who are not the true shepherds, the hired hands, that when danger comes, they abandon the sheep. When the wolves attack, the false shepherd runs away, and the wolves attack the sheep and scatter them. But Jesus, our good shepherd, stands between us and danger all the time. Well, okay, Father Steve, how come bad things often happen to us? Well, remember Jesus in the same Gospel of John said in John chapter 16, in this world you will have tribulation. What does tribulation mean? It's bad things, right? Things that assault us and hurt us. Sickness, disease, car wrecks, teenagers who act like teenagers. Things that happen to us. Jesus said, in the world you will have those things, but fear not, I have overcome the world. So he stands between us, and our eternal lives are secure because of him. Because when he handed over his life, and he tells us in that passage, I have the power to lay down my life. No one can take it from me. And I have the power to take it back up again. And he did on Good Friday when he died on the cross. He handed over his life. And through his death, we have received remission of our sins. Through his resurrection from the dead, we've been given our pathway into eternity and to eternal life through him. Which means that no matter what we go through in this life, he is there with us, because he said he would never leave us or forsake us. And so our biggest challenge when we go into the craziness and darkness and demonic activity in the world today is we forget about him. We just forget. Now, that doesn't mean that he abandons us when we abandon him. No, he's with us always. He's given us his word on that. He's with us until the end of the age and through. That means that every minute, the one who is with us in the darkness, in the danger that we go through, in the pain, in the sorrow, in the confusion, is there with us as we're going through it, and he is the one who knows the way out of it. Because he is the way out of it. And when we forget him, we forget that there's a way out of it. We forget that he can make things happen that we have no way of making happen. We have no idea what he does with the prayers we offer for our children who are doing crazy things. We have no idea what he does when we are suffering or hurting. But he is the way out and the truth. He is the way and the truth and the life. Jesus is our good shepherd. And so when we go out into the world and we forget that, when we just get up and go rushing out because we've got so much to do that's so important that we don't have time to say a 2-minute or a 2-second prayer in the morning, well, guess what? We're giving an open invitation to the powers of darkness. Do what you will. Now, that doesn't mean Jesus leaves us. He still protects us. But we lose all that sense of eternity and eternal security when we forget him. We do so at our own peril. You know, I'll never forget the young firefighter, the look in his eyes He really thought he was going to die. Fires are, by definition, and I learned this back then, unpredictable. Guess what? So is life. It's unpredictable. But there's one who knows the contours and the ebbs and flows of life, the one who is the Lord of life, our Lord, our Savior, that we are not left to wander haphazardly through life as though we have no idea where we're headed. And when we have things that inevitably happen, like loved ones who die, we don't mourn and grieve like those who have no hope. We know that we have eternal life in Him. So our future is secure in the One who is with us. When we walk out in full knowledge that Jesus is with us and within us, we're able to trust in Him and not be afraid. When we get scared or afraid, we're jumping way to extremes and worried about things that may not even happen. In fact, there have been a number of doctoral dissertations done on the types of things we worry about all the time. And most of the things we worry about all the time have already happened, because we worry about the past all the time. We can worry about it all we want. We can't change it. But we can make amends for things that were our fault, and we can apologize and seek reconciliation. Or we worry about things that are in the future that may not happen. Past and future, we worry about all that. And we also spend an inordinate amount of time worrying to the point of distraction over what other people might say or do or think, as though we had some control over what others say or do or think. I tell my high school students all the time that when someone comes up and shouts at them and said, "You're rotten, you're not any good, you'll never amount to anything, you're weak, you're small, and I just can't stand you, you're horrible." I said, "Who's got the problem there?" The person who's all bent out of shape about you. You don't have to take that and put it into you and carry it around, because you've got the Lord Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, in you. And when we are assaulted or attacked, we pray. We invite our good shepherd, as we sometimes say, to put a hedge of protection around us and those near to us, because He loves us with His whole heart. Please remember that when we gather at this table, that Jesus gives us all that we need to go out and change the world for Him. All that we need. We become His apostles, His evangelists, His ministers. As we carry His blessings, we carry His presence, we carry His word, we carry His grace and His joy with us when we leave here. And people see it when we let Him be the one who shines through us. When we go into the world with a sour disposition and beaten down and stooped over, we don't really let our best side show. Our best side, of course, is the Lord who is with us and within us. He said that He has sheep that hear His voice. Do you hear the voice of the Savior? He's talking to you. We have so much noise and distraction in our minds, most of the time we don't even hear Him. But when we slow down, we be still, we be quiet, and listen, turn the noise down, turn the volume down, listen to Him. His voice is unmistakable. He is calling you by name because He knows you. He knows everything about you, past, present, and future. And He loves you, past, present, and future. Hold fast to Him, your good shepherd, and know that He is always holding fast to you, because He loves you with a love that will never end. Our Good Shepherd.